This ESPN Chicago podcast is presented by 19 Crimes Wine.
From the Old National Bank State Street Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie on WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
2023, a momentous year. The year ESPN 1000 turns 25. A quarter century spent with Chicago sports fans. And a lot of great moments through those 25 years. In conjunction with those great moments, we had to find a great partner. And so we did.
Great Clips presents the 25 greatest moments in Chicago sports during the history of ESPN 1000. Number 24.
That's right. The 25 greatest Chicago sports moments in the last 25 years is brought to you by our great friends and partners at Great Clips. They're awesome.
They are fabulous.
Waddle's been talking about them for years. They took Mason to Great Clips in my neck of the woods.
He looked great.
Yeah, he's growing his hair out. So we did a
like Lance McCullers.
Yeah, he wants. That's what he says. He says he wants to grow his hair out. Like, so we just did a touch up. We got the hair out of his eyes, took care of the sides.
Is it like a hint of a mullet?
In and out. Yes.
Hint of a mullet, yeah.
For sure a hint of a mullet.
Is he going to ask to have it kind of like, is his hair wavy in the back, or are you going to have to perm it a little?
We're not perming his hair.
Putting a little body into it.
No, we're
not. Well, I mean, Lance McCullers has got, it's kind of wavy in the back, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, but that's natural, right? We're not perming.
Yeah, well.
We're not perming his hair.
Okay.
No, there will be.
Coach Ditka. Used to perm, give himself the perm.
It was in the 80s. So number 25.
Yes.
Was the 2009 series between the Bulls and the Celtics. The seven-game series, which we chronicled. It had four games of the seven that went into overtime. And specifically, we played the highlights of these game six that went into triple overtime, the Joakim Noah play, and it was a glorious series. It was one of the best first round series ever played. The Bulls ended up losing that series, but it was still fantastic.
Some people believe that it's the greatest NBA playoff series of all time.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about that after you said that. I mean, come on now. There are some of those great Bulls Lakers series, some of the. You think about all the great series that were played in the NBA Finals.
Have there been any seven-game series that had four overtime games?
I don't know. But there certainly have been. It is weed o'clock. I don't mind the smell, though. It seems like it hurts you.
No, it's just like not. Like I'm a booze guy. I'm not a, like, so. The smell's just kind of, I'd rather huff a marker.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'd rather sniff gasoline or a marker.
Does that make me odd? No.
So we're up
no,
to
I'm with you.
We're up to number 24. Mellor, do we have sound to play on this one at all?
We do.
All right. So let's go to number 24. This was something that really did not happen on the field. It happened off a field, but it did happen on the national television stage.
Operative word, field.
But we have enormous news, and you can see it on the lower left-hand corner of your screen. We have a trade, and Adam Schefter has the details. Schefty.
Greeny, we have the Giants trading number 11 to the Chicago Bears. The Bears come up, presumably for a quarterback. The Giants get back in return. The Bears' first-round pick next year. They're 5 this year, and they're 4 next year. So you see the picks that they get back. In addition to the one this year, next year's one, 5 this year, 4 next year. The Bears are coming up. It looks like quarterback time again in Chicago, Greeny.
The reaction in Chicago is going to be remarkable. The draft parties in and around the city there, because this is something that the Bears fans and the Bears team desperately needs. You see Mac Jones, he's available for them. Justin Fields is available for them. Here's the moment that fans in Chicago have been waiting impatiently for. The commissioner is making his way to the stage. There will be a special presentation, and then he will announce the Bears pick as they have traded up with the Giants to number 11. Here's Roger. I love that
noise. Carlos Nelson, who's behind me, has been leading the Greater Auburn Gresham Development Corporation in Chicago. Please take it away with the Bears selection.
Boy, how exciting is this? With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the My Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Oh! This is an interesting one. We put it in number 24. This is a chance in the next few years to vault into the top 10, or it is a chance to fall out of the top 25,
yes,
depending on what happens with Justin Fields.
This is a vote for optimism, confidence, that the future is going to be bright.
But if he does become the star that we hope, it could become even greater than the 24th moment the last 25 years.
There's just not enough evidence to place it any higher.
Right, right. And if he doesn't, we may not even think about this as a top 25 moment in the last 25 years.
No question. The same way Mitch's selection was not.
Right, right. Mitch, I don't think we're going to play spoiler. Mitch Trubisky's draft is not in the top 25 because of the result of it.
Again, remind people, this is the greatest 25 moments in Chicago sports in the last 25 years. So there's no negatives here. That wasn't, the Mitch thing wasn't a positive.
So where we sit now with the arrow pointing up with Justin Fields, where we are currently today when we made the list with the optimism around Justin Fields and the way that draft turned out, all right? So Trevor Lawrence, let me back up even further, Waddle, because when we were knowing that the Bears needed a quarterback going into this, when Bleck and Abdallah were producing our show, I always remember talking about the quarterbacks. And we knew that the Bears were decent, right? They made the postseason that year, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah, they added the extra postseason spot.
So they were made the postseason. We always knew Lawrence and Fields were 1 and 2. That was the way things projected. We were always talking about, all right, we have no shot at Lawrence. We have no shot at Fields. Who are some of the quarterbacks that we should be thinking about? We always had Zach Wilson on our radar from BYU. We never thought Zach Wilson would be taken number 2. So we were always thinking like the second tier quarterbacks could be there for the Bears.
Well, I recall the following, that when we did our expert draft research, we had Justin Fields as the second quarterback after Trevor Lawrence. But there were many others that had Trey Lance.
Others. I'm saying during the season.
Yeah.
I'm going back even during the season. It was never on our radar that Fields could have ever been there for a Bears team. And then the talk during the lead up of the draft. Ooh, could Justin be falling? All of a sudden, Zach Wilson has himself a combine and a workout. And Trey Lance now all of a sudden starts working out. And now Mac Jones. Remember the talk about the lead up? Mac Jones was the rumor guy to be going
to San Francisco.
To San Francisco after they made the trade.
Yes.
Not Trey Lance.
Well, this was all good news to me because I always thought that Justin was the second best quarterback in that draft behind Trevor Lawrence.
Yes.
Going back way back in the day.
So you had all this stuff going on. We thought Mac Jones could go number 2. Trevor Lawrence was going to go number 1. And we didn't know what was going to happen. But still, the Bears, remember, were drafting 20th. What was going to happen? We didn't love that Pace and Nagy were still there.
No.
And then we had all these other teams who needed a quarterback still in front. They were still in front of the Bears. So you had teams like Carolina in front of the Bears. You had a team like Denver still in front of the Bears. Both of those teams needed a quarterback. As the draft went on, Carolina drafted J.C. Horn. Denver took Patrick Surtain, who's a great,
fabulous player.
Great player. But when they called his name, then all of a sudden, things started to change. Oh, boy. Could now all of a sudden Justin Fields be had? He fell so low. Who made, I think it was Weider who came up with the analogy that it was the equivalent to a $20 bill falling in front of you on the street and Ryan Pace bending over and picking it up. There really wasn't much for Ryan Pace to do because it was so obvious at the time, all you had to do was make the call to the Giants and trade up from 20 to 11. They still had Danny Dimes that they were high on. And all you, like, he fell far enough where the move was obvious. It wasn't like trading up from 20th to 2.
But they could have taken somebody else. They could have taken the kid Mac Jones, who ended up in New England.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, I thought the majority of what Ryan Pace did was all bad. Maybe his parting gift to all of us here in town. We hope.
It is.
We hope they got it right.
It is. While Matt Nagy is in focus, and he was talking about Fields yesterday, and we're going to play you some of that. It is unbelievable the way we look at those two guys, that they may have left us. Two guys who aren't very good at their job may have ultimately left us with the quarterback that we have always wanted. Now, it's not Patrick Mahomes, which Ryan Pace should have gotten right the first time.
Yes.
But maybe it's the next best thing.
That's the hope. And again, I thought it was a very optimistic moment because, again, like, after Trevor Lawrence, this is the guy that I thought was the most equipped to take your franchise to the next level. There's a lot of work to be done, but there are enough signs out there that lead you to be very optimistic about the future.
That was one of those moments, too, when they traded up. I remember distinctly because it was.
Did you have apprehension that they were going to take somebody else?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it happened. It was somewhere between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. The reason I remember specifically was because that's when I usually tuck my kids into bed. And the Bears had traded up. And so all of a sudden, I had to put everything on halt. And I said, hold on. Told the wife, we got to watch and see what the Bears do here. But I was absolutely anxiety-riddled because I did not want them to draft Mac Jones. But I certainly wanted them to take Justin Fields. But
why didn't you want Jones? See, I was one of the few guys at the radio station who was good with Jones because, A, I knew that San Francisco liked him.
Uh-huh.
And yes. Then if San Francisco liked him, as we've seen, he is as good as anybody. B, I watched him win a national championship at Alabama.
Mm-hmm. I just, for me, when I watch the Alabama quarterbacks, oftentimes I'm just like, I don't know how much of it is because of them or how much of it is just because of the talent that they've been surrounded by. Especially at that point, you had just seen, you know, Tua, Jalen Hurts, all these guys who, you know, at that point, who hadn't established themselves either at the NFL level to being great quarterbacks. So I was just concerned. Don't forget, too, the photo that was floating around there that everybody kind of scratching their head like, really, you're going to draft a quarterback who looks like that? Remember the shirtless photo, the infamous shirtless photo of Mac Jones?
Yeah, but Brady paved the way with the shirtless photo, right?
He did, but there's only been one of him so far.
Have you ever seen Peyton Manning with his shirt off? That ain't pleasant either.
This is true. Nevertheless, I was all in on Justin Fields, but I was like, I did not want them to take Mac Jones, so I was scared. Maybe I'm not going to lie.
Maybe Shanny is the anti-Pace. Maybe they can't really identify the most talented quarterback. They can develop the hell out of him.
Right. And they
whereas opposed to here, they can identify them, or the head coach
can't
develop them.
It's a good point.
The one thing, though, when I put in the clip this morning, Sylvie, of the funny thing was I took out, you had Booger McFarland, you had Lewis Riddick, you had Mel Kiper all breaking down the draft in between when they traded up and actually made the selection, and they were all pretty convinced the Bears were going to take Mac Jones. Yeah. That was that was the interesting part, yeah.
I'll never forget, because we watched, it was Meller, me, Waddle, and Abdallah who watched the draft when they went up for Trubisky. And it was stunned. We were stunned when they did it. There was no celebration. We were stunned. I watched this draft by myself in the middle of COVID. I was in my basement. And I remember it was pure joy. Like, I had seen Justin Fields play. I've seen him throw the football. I have seen him do against the best competition some of the greatest things on the college level.
So you weren't disappointed that it wasn't Mac Jones?
No. Mac Jones was on my radar, but... like, Justin Fields was the real deal, and it was a celebration and hope and joy that they had gotten a real quarterback here, even though I hated the men who drafted him. But yes, it was a great day for Chicago sports, and I still think that it's still overwhelmingly positive. But it wasn't. Like, I'm trying to think, like, there was the Khalil Mack day. There's the Cuddy day. It has brought you days like this. There's the Derrick Rose drafting day. There are a few days where you celebrated an acquisition like this, that you remember where you were when that player was acquired and it gave you joy just for the acquisition of the player. And that was one of those days.
I can remember when they drafted Mitch. I didn't know really anything about Mitch, so I was beyond kind of perplexed by what they had done. I was expecting them, if they were going to make a trade, to go somewhere in a different direction.
Even though they were drafting third, we did not talk quarterback that whole draft.
Yeah. No.
They had just signed Glennon, right?
He was at the draft party.
Yeah.
And like, there was no mention about the Bears looking to draft a quarterback. Glennon was young enough that they could still develop him. No one had talked about. So he did keep the secret, but unfortunately it was for the wrong guy. He could have thrown a dart and had a better chance, we always talk about, of hitting a bullseye with Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. So do you guys like where we put Fields? 24th greatest moment in the last 25 years. The acquisition of Justin Fields. That's number 24. 312-332-3776. Matt Nagy yesterday was talked to by the CHGO guys. Adam Hoge was down there. Mark Harmon spoke. I forget who else was there who spoke. Is Braggs down there as well?
That
is
Braggs at the Super Bowl? I thought it was Mark Harmon that actually was doing the interview with Nagy, wasn't it? I thought so.
So he was talking to Matt Nagy about if he regretted the way he handled Justin Fields. This is Nagy at Super Bowl Media Day last night.
That situation, again, there's so many things that can go on. Andy got hurt, and we had a plan through this whole deal. Everybody said, hey, you're trying to do the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes deal. They're all different. And we wanted to make sure that we handled Justin. We knew that that was our future, and we wanted to handle him and do everything we possibly could to make sure that he succeeded. Scheme, how we handle practices, everything. And it's just that was a unique situation with our quarterback room. They were all great. They handled it great. But, you know, it just didn't go the way we wanted it to. And, again, you just learned from it.
Yeah, throwing down a flight of stairs with the scheme in Cleveland, I would say.
Yeah,
look, it's a tough environment. I get it. You can hear the noise in the background. There's people everywhere. Matt probably would have been better off just saying, hey, I'm here as part of the Chiefs. You know, well, we could talk about that at a different time. But being the nice guy that he is, he entertained the question, and he gave you an answer that you became accustomed to getting, where you feel like you've driven in a circle after the entire experience comes to an end.
This is where you say, KYP, know your personnel. My personnel is the Chiefs. Guys, I had a great time in Chicago. I don't really think that's for me to talk about right now. Matt Eberflus is their head coach. I wish Justin well. He even said there was a moment in the interview where I haven't talked to Justin all year. Yeah, no crap. Justin probably doesn't want to hear from you. Justin has no trust in you. You let Justin down. You didn't develop him the right way. You yo-yoed him back and forth. He has no confidence in you. Here's Nagy. I get mad like Big Cat, and I put a lot of it on me, too. It is a lot my fault, but he ruined a lot of my football Sundays. I blame him for doing that.
Well, this one's going to make you real mad.
He recounts Fields' debut. This is my advice to any NFL owner who is in the business of hiring a head coach and wants to interview Matt Nagy. Remember when he said, "Did you see the Colts game?"
Mm-hmm.
Put in the Browns game. Put in the Browns tape. Put that in. Here's Justin Fields' debut. This is Matt Nagy recounting that game.
These guys are so young, and when they're thrown into it, everybody thinks that it could just happen overnight. Right. They're going to play like they did in college. That's not real. When you're a coach and you go through your offense, your scheme, your players, you want to do everything you possibly can to make it easy for them to succeed, whatever that is. And we learn, too, as coaches. Yes. And so, you know, you go back to the Cleveland Browns game, right? It was a really, really difficult game. I think there was 8 or 9 sacks. for, and it's not what we wanted for him, for Justin, right? We didn't want it for us. We didn't want it for Justin. The last thing you want is to hurt somebody's confidence, a young quarterback like we did that game. No one wants that, you know, for anybody. And so we needed to learn from that and be able to change some things in how we handled him. And but you end up running out of time, and you also know that schematically, you know, it just was a different situation.
They needed to learn from that. The guy they gave no reps in training camp, that he couldn't handle that stuff without chipping anybody on that defense that game with that offensive line.
It just ran out of time. Just ran out of time.
Like sands through the hourglass. Well, there's your guy's coach. I mean, he's you got him going somewhere else. We got to find a wager. We got to find out what it is. Maybe a
it's
nice,
not because of him. Nice it's the dumbness of the league.
Maybe a nice bottle of wine. I've already paid one of those bets off before. See, this is my premise for that, is that I just personally think for Matt to get another bite at the apple, the head coaching apple, he's going to have to prove that he can be more than just a quarterback coach, that he can be a competent, productive offensive coordinator. And we've seen that. How did that go with him as the Bears offensive coordinator? How did it go in that short period of time with KC before he got the Bears job?
I've always said he's worse at being a coordinator than he is as a head coach.
Yeah.
He's better as a leader of men than he is at calling plays.
He'd have been better off if he had the capacity like Matt Eberflus did and separated himself completely. But you got to find a competent, got to find a competent offensive coordinator.
Right. Here's Vic. Vic is my defensive coordinator, and here's my OC who's really good Vic.
Yes.
And I'm going to stand here with my visor and just kind of like do run club dub.
So,
now, he wasn't good at managing the clock, nor knowing which hash the kicker should kick from either.
Well, that's why, like, again, I think your best chance.
Bad at all of
I
that.
Think the best chance for you guys, your prediction to come true, is if the process in Kansas City is just Andy decides at some point, and maybe Eric Bieniemy goes on and moves to a different organization, and Matt is left there. I think that's your best chance to win this. I could be wrong, win this bet, but in my world, for him to get the next shot, he's going to have to prove that he can handle an offensive coordinator's role. And I don't see that happening, because what we've seen of him doing that, it has not gone well.
I polled the question. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. Will Matt Nagy ever be a head coach in the NFL again? 2,300 votes. Vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. 59.7% are with Waddle and Tyler. They say no, he will not be a head coach again. 40.3% are with Meller and me. We are not voting based on Matt Nagy's strengths. We're voting on the weakness of the NFL and their decision-making. That's the way we're voting. Vote online. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. Thank you to Great Clips for this outstanding promotion of the 25 top moments in Chicago sports over the last 25 years. Number 24 was Justin Fields getting drafted number 11 overall years ago.
And let's hope we revisit this in a year or two and we boost him way up, as opposed to revisiting this a year or two and going, uh-oh, we have to find another number 24.
We'll take your calls. We have not taken a lot of calls yet today. We will take your calls next. And then Would You Rather coming up at 4:45. Hashtag it WS Would You Rather. Send them to Meller and Tyler. We've got a prize pack on the line for you.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Come on. Wilbon's going to join us at 5. He had the exclusive one-on-one interview with LeBron right before he goes to break the record, the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, breaking Kareem's record, hopefully tonight, because we got money on him to break it tonight.
Yes, we do. Where's Michael? Is he two? Michael two? Three?
In the all-time score? No, I want to say he's Karl Malone behind Kareem, or now behind LeBron. Double-check that.
All right, NBA all-time leading scores.
You want to hear this, too? We didn't play this yesterday. Kay Adams was on her show on FanDuel. She had Brandon Marshall on the show. She told they were talking about an old Jay Cutler story. This is a current Jay Cutler story. She had Jay Cutler booked. Take a listen to this.
Maybe it was an emergency. So, like, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth when this eventually gets cleared up. But the fact of the matter is, I wanted to put one to you and get one on the scoreboard for Kay Adams versus Brandon Marshall so bad that I lowered myself to basically beg Jay Cutler to come on the show. And then I'm making videos like, we got Jay Cutler on the show. And he did me dirty, I think.
Wow. So, yeah, that's over. Listen, don't feel bad, Kay. He once told me he was going to come to my wedding. And I look out in the aisle, and there was no Jay Cutty.
What did he say? Where was he?
I didn't talk to him. I didn't talk to him for another 3 years until I got traded from the Miami Dolphins to the Chicago Bears.
Is that true?
Come on, we don't lounge up in Adams. Yes, it's true. The night, 2 nights before the wedding. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm coming.
Wow.
You know, Tony Scheffler came. All the boys came. We're having a good time. And all of a sudden, all right, he'll make it tomorrow. Yeah. He didn't make the party. He'll make it tomorrow. Nope. Mm-mm.
Ghosted.
We're not the only ones.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah. It's like a roll of the dice. That's what it is. It's a roll of the dice.
Did he send Kyle Long instead?
That's good.
That would have been great if all of a sudden on her screen there was Kyle Long. Yeah. Hi, Kay. It's Kyle.
Yeah, Jay told me you needed me.
I'm the fill-in. This goes back many years. Jimmy on the north side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jimmy?
What's up, fellas? How are we?
We're good. Long time no talk.
Yeah, I've been battling the good fight at home, and I was in New York for business, but listening nonetheless. By the way, can I just say that Aaron Rodgers is the biggest stroke on planet Earth? I mean, come on. But I would want to get into that business model of locking people in a dark room for zero marginal cost and charging them as such.
Yes, however, that sounds like a good business plan, doesn't it? $1,000 a night, your cost is probably $50.
But you said it was $40 that they were charging.
Yeah, their cost isn't
very. It doesn't sound like it's a high-priced
gig. Yeah, but my guess is Aaron's not going to the lower-cost ones. He's
Going to Frankfurt?
Probably not. He's probably not going to Frankfurt, Illinois for his.
Yeah, I mean, the marginal cost of spinning up one of those four-day affairs in a dark room is can't be very high, so it's purely snake oil. Listen, I've been thinking about the Bears, and correct me if I'm wrong if this is unrealistic, but you know, as we consider trade down opportunities, right, I think that no matter who's trying to come up to one, you want to be in touch with the Texans and let them know that they basically have right of first refusal, given, you know, their interest in trading us 2 and 12, we're willing to negotiate. So then you move to 2, right? And presuming that Houston takes one of the quarterbacks that's not necessarily as desired by the other teams that are in the top 10 looking for a QB, you've retained the leverage, right? And so, you know, to some degree, you can get 2 first-rounders from Houston and then go and do it all again with Indianapolis, potentially. I mean, that would be ideal, right? Because then you can get one of the defensive guys on the interior. But I guess my point is, just taking a deal from the Colts seems like you're not taking advantage of all the leverage that you have, unless it's completely unrealistic to say that you would trade down twice. Is that so unrealistic?
I don't think it's unrealistic. I would definitely listen. If what you just described, Jimmy's available, I think of course you trade down as much as you possibly can. I think
be interesting is what they will do leading into the draft, right? What will they seek to holes to fill? But, you know, I can see that Northwestern tackle at 12, then you get an interior guy at 4 potentially, and then you're looking at, you know, maybe trying to get something in the earlier the second round, but you know, we need difference makers right out of the gate, right? And it seems like they're, those can fulfill that. And then I think you want to trade for, let's say, a Hopkins, let's say, you know, I don't know if Devontae Adams is available. I still like the Cooper Kupp idea. I know Sylvie, you're not necessarily involved in that. But, like, I guess you make that trade for a wide receiver prior to the draft, or do you try to do it in the draft, or do you wait until we're looking at second and third wide wave free agents?
Obviously, I mean, I don't think the playbook is kind of written for that yet. You've got to, I think that you just speak in kind of general terms, like, A, the first overall pick is available. You talk to everyone about it. You also tell everybody we're open for business. If you get a hint that they know up at Halas Hall that the Bears are interested in a wide receiver, possibly in a trade. If you're same way that you would expect Ryan Poles to call the Texans, the Colts, the Carolina Panthers, and all of them, don't you think that a team looking to deal a wide receiver for whatever reason would call a wide receiver needy team like the Chicago Bears and vice versa? Yeah. I think we could get bogged down in 1,000 potential scenarios. What should the Bears do? I think in basic terms, we're open for business.
Yes, but again, until the dust settles on free agency, we don't know which teams are truly looking for the quarterback. Do we know if Carolina's going to get Geno Smith?
Don't know.
Where's
Jimmy Garoppolo going?
Right.
Where's Aaron Rodgers going?
Go to Vegas? Well, exactly. Well, where does Aaron Rodgers land? Where does Derek Carr land?
Yeah.
So until those dominoes fall,
there's no way to predict it.
We don't know which team will end up, and then we'll see who doesn't get one, and then who will be more desperate to even trade up then.
No question. The only thing I would say is that there will come a point for me, again, an amateur draft, you know, whatever. I don't want to go too far down in this draft where you doing all of your work and your research and your board, where maybe you're on the cusp of not getting a player that you consider to be kind of game-changing. Like if you trade all the way down to 15 or 12 or 14 and you know, all of the difference-making players at that point in this year's draft are gone, that would not excite me. I still want to walk away from this year's draft with a player that I believe can be a quote-unquote franchise changer. Where that spot is it at 8? Is it at 7? Is it at 6? Is it at 4? Wherever it is, I don't want to trade so far down that I'm not getting a guy that I think can have an enormous impact on your team for years to come.
Big C on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, C?
What up?
What's happening, hey, Big C?
I'm ready to get you, Sylvie. Hey, Waddle, you're going to pass this time.
Why?
Because I made Chris Jones a household name. People at the crib on that Sunday thinking about me. So, Waddle,
nobody knew who Chris Jones was until Big C mentioned his name.
Exactly. On your show.
Mm-hmm.
And Sylvie, no. I got a little hate you trying to say, oh, yeah, three backups. Yeah, that's why I even called the show last week. But back to you, Sylvie. What's up with all this hate with Matt Nagy, man?
He was a bad coach.
Man, cut it out, man. Y'all was sitting up there. I blame you because you were the nigga of the pack. Had them morons at this guy kid's game talking about five Nagy. All the stuff y'all put that cat through, and you talking about winning, and then you want to talk about Fields. He wasted 1 year. What did Fields do this year?
He grew.
He ain't grew.
He got better.
The thing is, it's on college. It's on tape from college. You go on YouTube, pull it up. The pros and cons, what they said about Fields coming out of college, is true. The guy can't make weed. Yes, he can make throws, like with goals and hooks on the line. Yes, he can make those throws. But when you have an option route like what they put out, where you run like a little hook, and then you have a drag cut underneath, but it's an option to hit the hook or the drag, he won't hit it. He'll throw it up straight on the line. And he'll make the play because he's good, but that's not the concept they're going to work in the NFL.
So, Big C, you're starting a franchise, NFL team, you're hiring Matt Nagy to be your head coach.
Yeah, Matt Nagy. Because Nagy, what he going to do with the team, like Big Cat said, he going to win a Super Bowl. You know what he going to do? Get another Vic Fangio. There you go, Sylvie. And back to this stuff like the Jimmy from the North
By the way, FYI, Vic Fangio was already brought in by John Fox. He was already retained.
He'll bring somebody. Now you have to approve it. But check this out. Like the guy was talking about Jimmy, all this trade back getting the wide receiver. Why ain't nobody talking about getting a veteran? You know you need some veterans, right? You need some veterans. All good teams have veterans. They have veteran old linemen, veteran deep linemen, like Calais Campbell in Baltimore.
That's what free agency's for. They're going to bring in some veterans.
I'm not talking about no free agent. I'm saying if you get a team to trade down, they got a good veteran, you need to get him too. While y'all talking about leasing.
As I've said a million times, everything's on the table with this team. They've got salary cap space to play in free agency. They've got cap space to actually make a trade and take on a contract that maybe other teams can't afford. They've got draft currency. Now you just got to make the right decisions.
Exactly, but nobody's talking about the veterans you need. You need veterans. You just can't call out, we're going to get Hopkins and Cooper Kupp and all this crazy fans. Oh, man, enlighten these people.
By the way,
Big
C.
You can call Jimmy. Call Jimmy.
Big C, watch out for this. There's a sneaky good player on the Philadelphia Eagles on their offensive line. His name is Jason Kelce. He's pretty good at the center position.
Okay.
You take a look at him this weekend.
I've been watching Kelce. I told y'all about Kelce. I probably named him Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson got pick number 2 in the draft with the Cat Fisher from Kansas City.
All right.
He's still on their line. Okay, then, because don't try to talk me about no football.
All right, well, here's another one. I don't know if you know him. Sneaky good player. Rushing the passer for the Philadelphia Eagles, Hassan Reddick. He could get after him. I don't know if you know who he is.
Reddick, he did a number on field, didn't he?
I am making a proclamation on this show, educating people like you and the listeners. Big C, do you know who he is? Hassan Reddick. Take a look at him this weekend.
Let's talk about the Cleveland game. You're talking about with Phil. You know what Miles Garrett did at the end of the game? We knew we were going to twist the boy up because the boy don't know nothing. So it ain't Matt Nagy's fault. It's all on
tape. They didn't protect him. All right. I got to go, Big C. We got to go to Would You Rather. Big C, all right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
It was your turn this time.
All right, Would You Rather, coming up next to the Michael Wilbon.
Hey, I got a good question for you. Who likes beer? Now that I have your attention over there, this Friday it's $3 beer night at the Chicago Wolves game. That's right. It's the final $3 beer night of the season, and the Chicago Wolves take on the Iowa Wild this Friday, 7 p.m. at Allstate Arena. The reigning Calder Cup champions, the Chicago Wolves, are making their run for the playoffs, and there's no better time for you to grab your drinking buddies and check out the Wolves versus the Wild this Friday, 7 p.m. Get your tickets today by going to chicagowolves.com. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We like $3 beers, and we are the Wolves.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olson here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Stick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
That's right. Would you rather? You send it in. Hashtag at WS. Would you rather? Send them to Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller on Twitter. Boys, what do we have for Would You Rather today?
All right. Chris Cavato wants to know, gentlemen, would you rather have Nick Friedel cover your favorite sports team?
Been there, done that.
Or have Aaron Rodgers be in charge of your decision making?
I'm going to take Nick covering my favorite sports teams. It's not Nick's fault that the Bulls continue to fail.
No, curses are real.
No, they're not.
Curses are real.
Not
everywhere
in my world.
He's gone, it turns to crap. I'll have Aaron Rodgers be in charge of my decision making.
Good luck.
You go in the ayahuasca, especially a younger Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't want an older Aaron Rodgers.
Cut off all ties with your family.
It's true.
Mark, to be your friend, you're going to have to cut off ties to your entire family.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that.
I don't think you were thinking about much when you decided to let Aaron Rodgers make all your decisions.
You really believe that much in the Nick Friedel curse?
I do. I do believe it's real, and it's unspectacular. By the way, did you see Seth Curry was wearing a Cubs World Series hat last night during the Brooklyn Nets game?
Did not see that. No. I'm not watching the Brooklyn Nets game. I stick with my decision.
I know, stay away from my teams. I do love Nick, though. But don't want him to curse my teams.
I Do you love him, but yet you blame him for stuff that he has no control over?
It both can be true, like you always say. What's next?
Andrew wants to know, would you rather spend 4 nights in an Iowa jail or nights on a darkness retreat?
4 nights in a darkness retreat.
Yes.
Yeah, that one thinks pretty easy.
Yeah.
Ben Knight wants to know, gentlemen, would you rather have John Madden or Tony Romo call play-by-play of your bedroom activities?
Oh, John Madden. Boom, yeah.
Wow.
John Madden's legendary. I mean.
Yeah, but he get, you know.
And Tony Romo talks too much.
Do you want either one of them in your bedroom? The answer's no. But if you could choose one or the other, who are you choosing?
The one of them's still alive.
Then.
We're not digging up John to sit there and do nothing. Like, I mean, come on.
John Madden was great.
I actually think the corpse of John Madden may make a better call.
That's a winner right there, Waddle. You win with that one.
Tells you all about slathering up the turducken.
Do you
want to
hear? Oh, Jeffrey. I think what you got to do here is get your leg up a little bit higher.
I think the corpse of John Madden also does more homework.
Boom! One for you. That was really good. That was a team effort right there.
Team broadcaster jokes.
Jose wants to know, would you rather do the 4 days in solitary confinement or try the ayahuasca retreat?
Yeah, no drugs for me.
No, I'm not doing the drugs either.
What is ayahuasca? Is that mushrooms?
No.
I think it's its own sort of entity.
It's mushroom-esque, right? Isn't it mushroom-esque? Isn't it like acid? Isn't it acid?
Listen, you're talking to a bunch of ayahuasca virgins
over here.
Yeah, I'm definitely an ayahuasca virgin.
It's a brewed drink.
Yeah, no thanks. And then you poop yourself, right?
He knows how to get trending, doesn't he? Like, Rogers does know how to control the news cycle. That he does know. Yeah. And meantime, Brady
craves the attention.
Brady keeps on tweeting. He's bored as hell already.
He's going to clog up your Twitter feed for the next 12 months.
No, he's not. Because in a month from now, he's going to be training again.
No,
and he's going to be back in a camp by July. You watch. He's bored as hell. What's next?
Brian wants to know, would you rather your 18-year-old daughter date current-day Leonardo DiCaprio or an 18-year-old David Kaplan?
I'd rather her
date.
I would rather date someone your own age.
Oh, so no Leo for you, huh?
Well, I mean, look, my daughters, they're all adults. They can do whatever they want. It's their decisions.
Well, a lot more money with the with Leo. No, that's kind of cool.
You are basically prostituting your daughter because her date has a lot of money?
It's a more fun experience, yes, for your daughter.
I don't know.
Then she could either go and drive to Hamline University in Minneapolis to go visit Cap, or she could be jet-setting across the world with Leo.
There's an expiration date with Leo, isn't there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The 18-year-old Cap has hair.
What kind of hair?
I don't know.
Is it a feathered look? Is it like a crew cut? Is it a mullet?
Does it make a difference?
I don't. You're the one that brought it up. I don't know.
I didn't bring it up. I was reading a question from Brian.
Oh, didn't you say he's got hair?
Oh, an 18-year-old Cap has hair. Yes, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Leo. I think Leo. Leo's the answer here.
I think you're not a father of a daughter.
It's true. It is true. How do you know that 18-year-old Cap was all...
Don't know. I don't know. I mean, I do believe that, and they can do their own thing, but I do believe the age difference. How old is Leo?
48.
48 and 19? I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but my daughter's a freshman in college. She's 19. Go be a freshman.
Would you rather have her bring home Hamline University's own David Kaplan, I'm on football scholarship, and I'm going to be a basketball coach. Take that! Or Leo.
Do you think that's what he did at that time? Do you think that's what he did at the time? Scream, take that?
Hello, Mr. Wild.
I'd have to show him outside.
You watched Wolf of Wall Street.
I did.
Tom, would you like to watch Wolf of Wall Street? We could watch it together. I could tell you how we made that.
The good, you know what, Waddle? I think Sylvie's won me over. The good news is you know that by the time your daughter's 20, she will no longer be on Leo's radar.
There's no doubt, because he will have moved on to somebody else. Yeah.
She'd have fun.
How do you know?
Experience of a lifetime.
I think what we have learned is that you swim in the shallow end of the pool.
We'll pick a winner, and we'll talk to Michael Wilbon coming up next.